Hello and welcome to A Bit Much. My name is Jenna.
And I'm Megan. And on A Bit Much, we watch a few episodes of The 100 and then we talk about it for your pleasure and enjoyment.
Yep. So we got a lot to talk about in this episode. And I feel like I say that every time we record, but it's like this time it's for real because some very big things happen in these episodes that we watched. So do you want to get into the summary?
Let's do it. So the first one is episode 307-13. To stop further Sky Crew attacks, Lexa decides to form a blockade around Arcadia while the Sky Crew loyal to the Alliance overthrow Pike, proclaiming that any Sky Crew who crosses the line of the blockade is subject to a kill order. Lexa asks Clark to stay, but when Clark decides that she must go home and face Pike, they share a passionate last few hours together. When Clark returns to her chambers, Lexa's flame keeper is waiting for her with a captive Murphy, planning to kill Clark and blame it on Murphy. When he starts to fire his gun, Lexa walks into the room and is killed by a stray bullet. It is revealed that the spirit of the commander is an AI that Becca, the woman who invented Allie, invented to save what was left of the human race. Nearly 100 years ago, she and a small crew were on the station Polaris when Allie set off the nuclear war that ended the world. Her crewmates demand she get rid of the second AI she was working on when they join with the other 12 stations, but Becca refuses, claiming it is the only thing that will save them. While the other 12 stations destroy Polaris, Becca fuses with the AI and escapes to the ground where she finds and leads a group of survivors as the first commander. Episode 308, Terms and Conditions. The Grounder blockade surrounds Arcadia, leaving them to starve in less than a month unless they turn Pike over to the Grounders. Kane and his team of rebels orchestrates a coup in which they start a prison break in order to cause enough confusion to grab Pike and take him to the blockade. However, the plan fails when Monty notifies Bellamy of their plan and he stops Kane at the gate. Kane is arrested and Pike sentences him to death, seemingly making Bellamy think twice about his allegiance. Meanwhile, when Raven enlists Jasper's help to steal back Allie's chip maker from Pike's office, his memories of Finn clear her mind and make her realize that she's forgotten about him entirely, giving her the strength to resist Allie's will for the first time.
So, season 3, episode 9 is called Stealing Fire. In Polis, Lexa's novitiates are prepared to battle for the role of the next commander, but Antari shows up and murders them all. Clark discovers there's another living Nightblood, Luna, who could take the flame and become commander, and Titus trusts her with the flame to go find Luna. Titus sacrifices himself so Antari will not get the flame. Pike sentences Kane, Sinclair, and Lincoln to death, and the Resistance hatches an escape plan. Bellamy and Monty want to turn on Pike, but their friends don't trust them. The escape is successful, but when Pike threatens to kill all the Grounder prisoners, Lincoln stays back to protect them, and Pike executes Lincoln. Season 3, Episode 10 is called Fallen. Murphy, left behind in Polis, works with Antari to cement her place as commander and lie about her not having the flame. This plan seems to work, but then she coerces him into sex. Monty's mother warns him that Pike knows he helps the Resistance, so he tries to escape and meet with the other insurgents. Kane and Octavia bring Bellamy as a hostage to meet him and discover that Pike caught Monty and Pike's people apprehend them. Bellamy claims he can lead Pike to the rest of the Resistance, but instead takes them into Grounder territory to surrender Pike. Raven tries to escape Allie's control, but Allie tortures her until she gives in. Jaha and Allie then force Abby to join the City of Light, threatening otherwise to kill Raven. When Jasper sees Abby has joined and is handing out keys, he takes Raven's unconscious body and tries to escape camp. He runs into Clark on his way out, who joins him.
Here we go. That's what happened.
Right. So, we had two pretty big character deaths.
Yup.
So, I don't know. Where do you want to start?
Oh, that's a very good question. Go back to...
So, yeah, okay. So, for episode 7... I don't really feel like I have anything to say about all of the flashbacks to Becca.
Yeah, just that, like, being in this time in the world now, I'm, like, seeing those things, seeing the whole world destroyed in a nuclear attack, I'm like, that could happen. That seems like something that I could maybe see happening in my lifetime, and that's depressing. We'll just move on from there.
Right. So then in Polis, we have the villagers who, their village was destroyed by the attack from Sky Crew, show up and basically tell Lexa, like, hey, Sky Crew did this. Can we retaliate against them now? And Lexa says, okay, we're going to have a blockade so that they can basically depose Pike, and then we will let them back in to the Alliance. And she's like, so we're going to have a, you know, a boundary, and if anyone from Sky Crew crosses it, you, like, you're authorized to kill them. And Octavia and Clark are so mad about this. They're like, how could you? And I'm like, she is being so, like, merciful and charitable right now by not retaliating. Like, she is giving you a blockade so that your people can maybe resolve this without having to go to war. And the fact that, like, you're upset about her saying, like, well, and if they cross that blockade we made, you have to kill them, because otherwise the blockade is pointless.
Exactly. And, like, it's a good idea, too. Like, it's, I feel like it's a very fair compromise.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it definitely isn't. It's absurd that, like, Octavia was so, like, upset about it. But as part of that, then, Clark is kind of like, okay, well, I'm Sky Crew, so I guess I gotta go back there. And Lexa's like, no, you should stay.
Because to her, Clark is always, always, always the exception to every rule.
Right. Which that we see Titus and Lexa have a conversation about that in this episode, right? Where where Titus literally says the words. He says, love is weakness. So it's like, you know, okay, this guy is who taught her that when she was telling that to Clark last season. Yeah. They reference this, like, past, I would assume, lover. I don't know that that's ever explicitly said, but Kostia, who's, you know, this woman who was very important to Lexa in the past. And Lexa says, like, yeah, like, Asgeta murdered her, and, like, I still let them into the Alliance. Like, I can separate my Felix.
Which is, like, hardcore, man.
Yeah.
Lexa's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was so good. Because then, yeah, so she's like, yes, stay with me. And Clark is like, she thinks about it seriously for a while. Yeah. And then she's like, no, like, I have to go back and, like, help depose Pike or whatever. And, you know, it's not a good look for me to be on this side of the fence for you personally, so I gotta go. And then when they're, like, saying goodbye or whatever, then they, like, kiss, and it's so good, and I love that scene so much. And it's just so great. And then, yeah, they have sex. And they're, like, cuddling in the bed and talking about, I mean, important plot point. They're talking about the tattoos on Lex's back signify, like, all of the night bloods. I can't say it in Grounder. Night bloods who she had to kill in the Conclave to become commander. And Clark notices that there's, like, a circle missing, basically, and she's like, oh, what's this about? And Lexa's like, I don't want to talk about that right now. And then they just make out more. And then, so yes, and then sad things happen because Clark is like, I got to go. It's almost just, like, get back to her and Octavia have to get back to Arcadia by dawn in order to not be killed. Yep. So she's like, I gotta go. When she gets back to her chambers, that's where she sees Murphy tied up. And she's like, a Murphy? What the fuck? Because she doesn't know that he was being held captive by the Flame Keeper. And then the Flame Keeper's there. He's like, listen, you're, like, the worst thing that's ever happened to Lexa. Yeah. Like, you're really clown her judgment, all this stuff. Like, I need to kill you. Like, sorry about it, but that's just got to happen. He's going to blame it on Murphy. And so he starts shooting, and it's chaos, and then Lexa comes through the door, and, yeah, he accidentally shoots her right in the stomach, and she's bleeding, black blood everywhere, and they get her on the bed, and Clark's, like, desperately trying to save her, but Titus, I think is that his name?
Yeah, Titus is the flamekeeper.
Yeah. He starts getting out this, like, kit thing very calmly, like he knows that she's going to die. Yeah. And Clark is still in denial.
I mean, to be fair to him, I don't know how... it seems like to grounders, a bullet wound might be a death sentence, you know? Like, since they don't have guns, I think for them, just, like, they might not have the medical knowledge to recover from that.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, like, even that shot would be hard for, like, Abby to take care of. Like, a gut shot, that's not great. Yeah, so this is when we get introduced. Like, this is a huge plot point. Like, both... you know, relationship-wise, like, Lex is dying, and this is, you know, very, very, very sad. It makes me angry to this day, because Lex is such a good character. So, you know, in that sense. But then it's also a big plot point, because we finally figure out, like, the spirit of the commander is an AI that is connected to each commander's brainstem, basically. Which is freaky. And, you know, so when she dies, he, like, turns her over, cuts her back of her neck open, and gets this, like, crazy alien technology looking thing out of her neck and puts it, like, in this little case. He was like, this is the spirit of the commander, the flame, and we have to go put it in somebody else now. Yeah. And it's unsettling.
Yeah. So, right. So this is a moment that kind of ties together the, like, Ally plot line and the sort of political grounder plot line. And also in this episode, like, Murphy is kind of starting to connect some dots about this. Like, he's looking at the murals on the wall and kind of figuring out, like, wait, this person who came down from space, I think then she became a leader. So we're kind of, that's kind of starting to come together. But, so do you want to talk about Lex's death more?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
It just makes me very sad.
Okay, well, I mean, you're the queer one, so I don't know if you want to take the lead on this, although I do have things to say about it.
I mean, yes, it just falls into the trope of, you know, tragic queers, right? We can never just be happy. And, like, you know, and it's not like, I still am conflicted about Lex's death, because... I don't know how necessary it was and was not. Like I said, it's a huge plot point. Like, it really does move the plot forward.
Okay, can I give you some like background information outside of the show information that influenced this? So I after watching this episode, like, did some research just because I kind of wanted to see for both the character deaths, what kind of the show's stance was on them. And the actress who plays Lexa was a series regular on Fear the Walking Dead. So she actually had a pretty limited amount of time to film with the 100. So basically from the start, they knew that she was going to have to leave the show, like, by this point.
Oh. Okay.
Which, since she was the commander, I feel like would have been hard to do without killing her. And I read that, like, after Lexa died, and there was a lot of, you know, backlash online about, you know, the fact that you had this, you know, lesbian character who was then killed, and that fell into this damaging trope. Jason Rothenberg, the show creator, like, posted this letter on Medium, which I read the other day, and it was, I thought, a pretty impressive apology, because it wasn't like he brought up some good points as to why he did it, but it wasn't just like, I did nothing wrong, like, I'm just defending myself. Like, he did own up. He said, like, you know what, I wasn't thinking deeply enough about the fact that this wasn't in a vacuum, the fact that, like, I could be recreating these tropes, and, like, if I had thought about that beforehand, like, she still probably would have died because that actress had to leave, but he would have done it in a different way. So, like, I was relatively impressed with the show's apology for it.
Interesting. Okay, I do like having all of that background information. That makes me feel a lot better.
Yeah.
Because, like, I do like this show, and I do think, you know, that they do a lot of great stuff for queer characters. So that's why it was so surprising and upsetting, mm-hmm. I think, for a lot of people, because it was just such good representation, and to have it kind of, like, snatched away like that really sucked.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah. But, you know, me, I'm always up for some angst, so.
And it's, like, it's also.
So I'm not mad about it that way.
Yeah, I also feel like it's kind of hard to, because, like, again, still doesn't excuse it, but to a certain extent, it's, like, part of the problem with that trope is that, like, you know, queer characters are killed off or, like, you know, suffer, like, not proportionally to straight characters, right? Whereas, like, in The 100, everyone suffers all the time. So, like...
yeah. Everyone's constantly suffering.
Right, so it's like...
whether you're gay, straight, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, but I cried. It was sad. I cried again. I feel like I cry every time I see it happen. And, like, especially when Clark is saying, like, you know, your fight is done, and then Lexa starts saying, like, may we meet again. Mm-hmm. Oh, wait, was it the other way around?
I don't know, but they said both those things, yeah.
But Clark was doing, like, the blessing right, or whatever, yeah. Like, may we meet again, and it was, it just ripped my heart out again.
Yeah.
Oh, that part is so good.
And again, especially considering, like, yeah, well, Clark's last love interest she had to kill. Oh, and that, God, like, right? Yeah, she just can't catch a break.
So much trauma.
Yeah.
All over the place.
All right, well, next episode?
Yeah, I guess. yeah, I think that's all that happens in that one.
Yeah.
Okay. So then we're back to Arcadia. We weren't in Arcadia at all last episode, but...
Right.
Now we're back. Back in.
Right, which we start out with... like, two Grounder messengers show up to be like, hey, we're blockading you. And and Bellamy shoots them both. Why?
Yep, for, like, no discernible reason. Yeah,
exactly. Just to show how terrible he still is.
Mm-hmm. Ugh. And, like, they're just trying so hard. They're trying so hard to justify his actions. And they're like, you know, they put that line in there. He was like, I, you know, think about how best to, say, like, save my people every day.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I do every day. And I'm like, fuck off. Bellamy, I hate you right now.
Yeah. So I, again, like, I kind of went down this rabbit hole when I was reading articles about Jason Rothenberg's, like, defense of the things that happen in these episodes. And, like, one thing that I read that he was saying was kind of like, well, Bellamy has spent less time working together with Grounders, which, like, okay, that's partially fair, because, like, as soon as they kind of started allying with Lexa, he was sent into Mount Weather, and then he was just in Mount Weather for the rest of that season, right? And then, like, and then mm-hmm. the next time he... next thing he knows, like, Lexa betrays them, and then they have to kill everyone in Mount Weather, which sucks. Mm. But on the other hand, like, he also, when he was in Mount Weather and he was, like saw what happened to the Reavers and, like, you know, was in the cage next to Echo and stuff, he was, like, immediately like, oh, I'm gonna save you guys. Like, I yeah. believe in your inherent humanity, and therefore, I'm gonna help. So it's like... yeah, it still doesn't make any sense that he is so willing to just randomly murder Grounders.
Yeah, and, like, all the stuff with Lincoln. Like, basically brothers at that point, like, through Octavia.
Yeah.
Like, it's just messed up. This is when all the spy shit starts happening.
Right, so basically, like, Monty and Bellamy are, like... totally in with Pike, which I thought it was weird that Monty was so in with... Pike, although I guess it's just because he cares about his mom, but whatever. But Pike basically says to them, like, we know that there are spies. We know basically that Kane is for sure a spy and that there are people working with him. So, like, let's figure out who they all are.
Right. And, like, it's hard to for me to remember the ins and outs of it because it's, like, it's very complicated. But, like... there's listening devices involved. I don't know how important it is for us to go over all of that, but, like, it's basically, like, double crosses and secret agent. Basically, the whole thing is they're trying to get Sinclair, who was part of the resistance, into the jail so that he can help Lincoln and the Grounders bust out.
Right, yes. So they, it's like, you know, the like resistance finds out that Pike wants to find them out, and so then they're like, their plan is to, like, you know, which they do this again later, and I love plans like this where it's like part of the plan is to get caught, but you didn't actually get caught for the real plan.
Yeah, that's some good shit.
Exactly. So like they arrange it so that Sinclair gets arrested so that then he can help Lincoln start a prison riot to cause a distraction so that Kane can grab Pike and get out of there.
Yes. And they're so close, they almost made it. Oh, but then, but then Monty warns Bellamy that's what's happening, and Bellamy stops them, basically because Kane won't run over Bellamy, because he's a good person.
Yeah.
So they stop him, they get him, and that's when everything goes off the rails. That's when he, Lincoln, and Sinclair are sentenced to death. Something that surprised Bellamy, I think, more than it should have. Like, you know, you could have saw that coming.
Right.
But it's like, that's, you kind of see him realize, because he's like, you know, we're killing our own people now, I think is what he says. Yeah. And Kane is like, or not Kane, Pike is like, you know, we have to make an example out of them, or like, other people are going to try to do this, like, blah, 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 blah. And then you can kind of see Bellamy be like, all right, maybe I'm not like totally 100% agreeing with this dude all the time. Which is good and refreshing to see.
Right. So then at the end of that episode, basically, so throughout this episode, Monty and Bellamy had, like, figured out. Monty and Bellamy had enlisted Miller's boyfriend to bug Miller, which is fucking tragic. So they knew that Harper and Miller were spies, basically. But at the end of the episode, after Pike has said, yeah, we're going to make an example out of them, we're going to execute them, Bellamy lies and says that there aren't any more, you know, they don't know of any more spies. So this is kind of his, the beginning of his turning point against Pike.
Finally.
God, finally.
Yeah, so that was good stuff.
Yeah.
Then we've got City of Light ship going down.
Yes, yeah.
That's when they're trying to get the chip maker back from Pike, because Pike apparently is also anti- City of Light, which is like the only redeeming thing about him. So they got their, you know, key maker. I think they call it a key. It's in Pike's office, and Raven is trying to get Jasper to help her get it back. And like, as they're in Pike's office, like trying to find it, Jasper's like, just can't wait to not feel anything anymore.
Yeah, he's like, so he's like, I'm first in line to get a chip once we find this thing.
Yeah. And talking about Maya and how sad he is. And he was like, you know, how, you know, like, he's under the impression that he's only going to remember the good things.
Yeah.
And, like, not the bad things. And so that's why he'll be happy. And he was like, is that what it's like for you and Finn? And she kind of, like, looks at him for a moment too long. He was like, you know Finn.
You remember Finn, right?
And then, like, obviously dawns on him that she does not remember Finn. And, but, like, it's so interesting because it also dawns on her. Like, it did not, that didn't happen with Jaha when Abby was like, what about Wells? And
well,
he was like, oh, yeah, Wells, totally, I know that kid.
He did remember who he was after a minute.
Yeah, but he didn't think it was a problem.
But yes, exactly. Yeah, but he was just, he's way more bought into to Allie's whole shtick at that point.
Yeah. And then Raven basically, like, kind of freaks out, like, oh my gosh, like, this thing in my head, like, made me forget Finn, like, because it's like, it's almost like she can remember, like, the feeling of Finn, but she's like, I don't remember anything about him.
Yeah.
And like, that freaks her out, and she was like, we have to leave now.
Yeah.
We're not gonna get this chip maker, like, let's go.
yeah, I think that's like all that happened here. Yeah
when you take out all the spy work, it's like,
right, yeah. Just that was very, very, like, interesting to watch in the moment, but then, like, doesn't really matter, like, afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
There was, like, this one line in this episode, again, where, like, Monty is kind of starting to, like, doubt himself. where he's like, I don't know that I'm doing the right thing, like, by working with Pike.
Yeah.
And his mom says, if something helps you survive, it's always the right thing, which is
so not Monty's philosophy at all.
I mean,
like,
that's the thing, is like, I feel like when I envision Monty in, you know, like season, four, four or five, like, yeah, where he is very much, but like, we talked about this before, that, like, he helped them, you know, he got them the ability to flood Mount Weather with radiation. Like, he has been involved, yeah, with violence to a higher extent than I think I remembered.
Yeah, that's true. Because you're always just, like, thinking of Monty as, like, the, you know, we should deserve to live people. But I guess, yeah, he wasn't always of that exact philosophy.
Right, yeah. He went through all this shit first before being like, actually, I changed my mind.
Yeah. Which, I mean, fair.
Yeah.
Growth.
Yeah.
It's great.
Okay. Episode 9?
Yep.
We start this episode in Polis, where Clark and Murphy are, like, locked up in their room, basically, following Lex's death. And Murphy, I felt, was being surprisingly sympathetic to, like, Clark, who was grieving.
Yeah.
So basically, you know, she's grieving, but she's also concerned about, like, okay, well, who's going to be next commander, and are they going to protect Sky Crew? Mm-hmm. So she, like, manages to convince Titus, I think, to bring them to all of the Nightbloods. And she talks to Aiden, the one who we, like, saw before, who Lexa was kind of like, yeah, he's the best. And she's like, hey, are you still going to protect my people? And he's like, yes, and, like, all of us will. Like, Lexa made all of us vow to protect Sky Crew. And so it's like, oh, what a relief. And then, you know, the door bursts open and Antari walks in. And it's like, oh, well. Which, again, it's like, not just, like, okay, well, there's another contender, and if she wins, she for sure won't protect Sky Crew. But also, like you pointed out before, that she's, like, 18 or something, whereas all of these other kids, yeah, are, like, 12 or 13.
12. It's not a good look. It's pretty obvious he was going to be the winner.
Yeah. I mean, even if she hadn't sabotaged it by just murdering them all, which, okay, just to jump ahead to that, it's like, before the conclave or whatever, she just, like, outside of that, just kills all of the other Nightbloods, which, like, kind of reminded me of what you said last time about, like, you know, the Grounders have, like, all these very important rituals and stuff that you have to follow, but you can just bypass those by being more badass, which I guess is what she did, and also forcing them to make her commander since there were no other living Nightbloods, which just seems like, I don't know the rate at which Nightbloods are born, but it just doesn't seem like a really...
Which Clark points that out. She's like, what kind of success,
yeah,
is that? Like, there's only a certain amount of Nightbloods. Like, yeah, I don't know. Like, right, if they all die when they're, like, 12, how are they ever going to make more Nightbloods?
Right, and, like, why were all of them 12, you know, like, right, like, okay, like, even if we assume, like, okay, well, maybe they're, like, some baby or toddler Nightbloods out there, but, like, they have to reach a certain age before they start training. Like, why, between the ages of, like, a 12-year-old and Lexa, was there no one besides Antari?
Yeah, it's, yeah, there are holes here, yeah, for sure.
But regardless, so she's in charge now.
And that is bad news, because she is Ice Nation, and they hate Sky Crew very much.
Yep. So then Clark...
Oh, then they do the flame.
Yeah, Clark tries to talk to Titus. And at first, it's so funny the, like, heel turn that he makes, because at first he's like, you don't understand, like, we have to have a Nightblood, because, like, if you put the AI chip thing in a non-Nightblood person, it will kill them. But he's like, you know, you don't understand this. How dare you? Like, we have to do, you know, we have to do Antari, whatever. And then Clark makes the connection to Lexa's tattoos and is like, wait, what about that missing circle, that last Nightblood? Where did that person end up? And he's like, oh, that's Luna. She's a disgrace. And Clark is like, well, I think I could find her. And then Titus is like, actually, go find her. I'm going to trust you with literally the most sacred object to my people. Good luck.
Yeah, that's also a hole. I feel like not great. Just plot. More plot, less character-driven decisions there. But, you know, whatever. Whatever gets the job done. The 100.
Yeah. Yeah, like, I don't care enough about Titus to, like, argue.
Yeah.
Hey, that's not fair. That was out of character. Like, whatever.
Yeah.
But also, well, so anyway, so then basically, like, so then Clark just leaves. And she just leaves Murphy in Polis. And, like, literally, I think three times already, they had opportunities to leave. Like, including... Yeah. Where Rowan took them all the way to the edge of the city. And he was like, go through these tunnels and you can get out of here and you won't get killed. And Clark, and it's at that point that Clark is like, no, I can't leave. I have to go talk to Titus. We have to figure this out or whatever. And Murphy agrees to stay, which again, like, I can't decide if that's like character growth or just out of character or what. Because he fully could have turned, been like, well, good luck with that, bye, and then, you know, gone out that tunnel, yeah. Tried to reunite with Amori and, like, get on with his life. But he was like, okay, I'll stay with you, which then led to Clark just abandoning him with Antari. And then Murphy just has to, like, fumble his way through surviving in this place that is extremely antagonistic towards him.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And, like, well, hold on. Okay, trying to think it through. Now Murphy knows about this blockade, though, right? So he knows he's Sky Crew. If he's found outside that blockade, they're going to kill him, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe he just figures, like, safety in numbers, Clark's a strong survivor person, like, I'll just stick with her. Maybe that's what he's thinking.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, and the other thing is that, like, once he, in this, like, this episode, next episode, once he is, like, kind of trapped here with Antari, he is, like, kind of, again, like, allying himself with her to a certain extent, which is, like, okay, yeah, that's beneficial to your survival, like, potentially, like, I can see that. Because, again, like, if you leave Polis, you're just another Sky Crew who any grounder will kill on sight. If you stick around here near the commander, like, maybe you get some perks, but,
Yeah. And then are we back in Arcadia?
I think so. Oh, okay. So Rowan discovers that Titus doesn't have the flame anymore. And Titus, like, sacrifices himself, which...
Oh, yeah.
By just, like, just walking in to Rowan's sword. Which, like, I assumed was so that he, like, couldn't be used to validate Antari in any way. But that wasn't explicit.
Oh, I was under the impression it was, like, in case they do get the flame back, that he can't put it in her
head. Yeah, yeah, that's... Yes, I also included that in my interpretation.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, so he dies.
Which is a little bit, I feel like he could have waited, you know?
It's a little over-dramatic.
Get the flame back. It's a little over-dramatic, yes.
So, yeah. So then
maybe
Antari,
in another TV show to go to.
Right. Antari is just like, well, I'm just going to pretend I have it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's everything that happened in Polis. So, back in Arcadia... This is when Pike sentences Kane, Lincoln, and Sinclair to death. And so this is when Bellamy and Monty are like, okay, we got to stop this. We have to help them escape. So they approach Harper and Miller to be like, how can we help you? And Harper and Miller are like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Which I think is very smart. Like, not the right move in that instance, but, like, I wouldn't trust him as far as I could throw
him either. Literally, like, in that scene, I think it Monty says, like, I can't believe after all we've been through, you don't trust me. And I'm sitting here like, last episode, you guys bugged Miller. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Of course they don't trust you.
Yeah, you've given them every reason not to trust you.
Yeah. So then Bellamy tries to make contact with Octavia to help them out, but Octavia just shows up and, like, tranquilizes him and is like, now you're my hostage.
Yes. Because she also doesn't trust him as far as she can throw him, which is also a smart move.
Right.
Yeah, so she brings him back to the cave. Right. Oh, I think they lock him up in Lincoln's cave, it looks like.
I don't know. I didn't pay that much attention to the cave. But yeah, she brings him back to this cave where Indra is also hanging out. Because when she was still in Polis, Octavia, like, gave Indra a pep talk. So they're working together again. And when they're back in that cave, there's a point where Bellamy says to Octavia, he says, in order to get the prisoners out, whatever, like, you need me. And Octavia replies, for the first time in my life, that's not true.
Oh, that's
yeah. So this is really, you know, what was once one of the core driving, like, you know, relationships in both of their lives. Octavia is like, no, I don't trust you, and I don't like you anymore.
Yeah, which is very sad. I do hate when
but also, like, fair.
Yeah, no, also extremely fair. Yeah, so she goes back to go save Lincoln and Kane and Sinclair, and Bellamy's basically like, Indra, like, please go stop her, like, she's gonna die. And Indra's like, then she'll have the warrior's death that you denied me. And it's like, damn! Yep. Like, oh, we're just emotional hit after emotional hit. Like, damn, son.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, in Arcadia, so Miller talks to his boyfriend, Brian, and he's basically like, hey, you can be with me or you can help Pike. Like, those are your options. He sort of gets Brian to change sides. So he then helps them with their escape plan, which again was a plan where they pretended to get caught. But then by pretending to get caught, they had a distraction so that they could actually get the prisoners out of there.
Then they were actually caught.
Right. Well, so...
Yeah.
And so during this process, Monty helps them get away. He is, like, with his mom, and at first is, like, you know, doing what he can to help his mom, like, stop the escape plan. But then at the last minute, he's like, actually, no, and says something over the radio that redirects Pike's attention so that the resistance has enough time to get away. Also, like, during this process, just something that I noticed was that, like, when they first, like, sort of get caught, but intentionally, and Pike, like, tries to find them, and then he tells his guards, like, start going door to door, like, we're finding these people. Which I'm like, hey, sounds a lot like what happened in Mount Weather. Very reminiscent of that deeply dysfunctional leadership. So basically, before or while the rebels are getting away, two important things happen. One is that Abby and Kane kiss.
It's so good.
It's such a cute sound.
It's so great. It just makes me so happy.
Yeah. No, it's good.
Because it was like him. He was resisting. He was like, I don't know why. I can't remember why. It was like, probably just got bigger things to worry about than being in love. But then, like, as soon as she's like, no, I have to stay. I have to show them, you know, she repeats, like, the words that he said to her before. Like, someone needs to stay and show them, like, the way back into the light. And then he just, like, grabs her face, kisses her, and it's so good.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was very good. But then, then the bad thing happens, which is that Pike says over the PA, like, hey, if you guys all leave, I'm just going to kill all of the grounders that I have prisoner right now. And so Lincoln decides to stay back and he tranquilizes Octavia so that she can't stay with him, basically.
Yeah. And it sucks so much.
Yeah.
I want to hear, I don't know, so we got to talk about it. Is there, I don't know if we should start with our reactions or if there's any background you have to make it better.
Well, so I do.
I feel like there is a lot.
Yeah, I do have background, but I don't think it makes it better.
Okay, it's okay.
Well, so like Ricky Whittle, the actor who plays Lincoln, had by this point signed on to be on American Gods. So, like, he did have sort of an upcoming schedule conflict, but according to him, like, the reason that he had auditioned for that project was because throughout season three, he felt like he was just, his character was just being sidelined. Like, he claimed that, like, all of his lines and scenes were getting cut, and, like, he felt that he was being mistreated by the showrunner, which I, again, like, I think he's the one who said that, and I don't know that any other cast members ever commented on that. So I don't know how, you know, I don't know the whole story. But, like, Ricky Whittle chose to leave the show, but chose to leave the show because he felt like he was not being treated well.
All right. Yeah, that doesn't make it better.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it still sucks.
So, I mean, the whole, the plot part of it is, you know, Lincoln sacrifices himself to save the other grounders. Pike, like, takes him outside and shoots him right in the head, and Octavia can see it all, and it's very terrible and very sad. But I feel like this was, like, one of the most graphic deaths that we have seen. I think it was... It feels like using black bodies for shock factor is how it came off to me. And it feels very gross, and I do not like it.
Because
it's like, when you see the bullet, like, enter and exit out of his head. Like, it's just, and I don't, like, and you know, 100 has never shied away from, like, violence, like, graphic violence before. But, like, I can't think of another, like, character death that is this explicit.
Yeah. I think part of that is because he was executed. And, like, honestly, I don't think we've seen a lot of executions on the show. Like, mostly, like, right? Like, mostly when people are killed, it's, like, in the process of a battle. So, like, the person is fighting back. Where in this case it wasn't. And I mean, because... Like, you're right, like, you know, he, like, kneels down on the ground, and Pike kind of, like, promises, hey, I won't kill your people now, and then Pike asks, like, do you have any last words, and Lincoln says, not for you, which was great. And then when Pike shoots him, it is this very, like, you know, music swells, it's kind of, like, slow-mo, it's very, like, sort of cinematic. And, like, I think that adds to sort of the graphicness of it, too, you know, because, again, like, we see it all. And, like, you know, I was also struck by that. And I'm like, okay, well, are they kind of emphasizing this to make a big deal out of his death to honor the fact that he's an important character and this is a really tragic thing happening? But your point about the sort of shock factor of it is also, I think, really valid.
Yeah, and it's just, like, it's just, you know, and especially in the world we're living in now, like, it's just very upsetting to see a black man gunned down like that. Like, that's just, it's too close to home. It's too real. It's just... And, yeah, it's just hard to pick apart, you know, the motivations, like you said, like, the cinematic. Like, yes, they do treat it as, like, a very sad thing, but it's, like, also, on the other hand, you could also be, like, okay, yes, but that's just using it for, like, Octavia's pain, right? So it's, you know, violence against a black person to show how terrible this is for their white girlfriend or white passing. I don't know if she's her, you know, ethnicity, but she is, you know, appears to be white. So it's just so much.
Yeah.
it's just so complicated and unfortunate. And again, like, I think if they had been looking at that in the grander scheme of things, like they said with Lex's death, like, I think it would have been handled differently. It should have been handled differently.
Yeah. And I also, like, okay, so, like, you know, two episodes before this, Lexa died, right? And, you know, that's a big deal because Lex has been a really key character for, like, you know, all of this season and part of the last season. But, like, so even though that, and, you know, and obviously, like, she developed a very important relationship with Clark, so it's still very tragic and, you know, affects the viewer a lot to see that. But, like, Lincoln's been here from the start. Lincoln's been a huge character for this whole series. And I kind of do, again, like, I don't know what the truth was about, you know, Lincoln's scenes or lines being cut or whatever, but it's like, yeah, he was, like, a much smaller part in this third season. You know, like, he's locked up in jail for a good portion of it. I don't know if... I don't know if you'd call it jail when it's just, like, a room in Arcadia, but, you know.
Yeah.
And so, like, to me, like, I do feel like, okay, well, if Lincoln was going to die, the fact that he's, you know, sacrificing himself for his people is fitting, right? Like, that's how that is the motivation that should exist for his death. But it also just seems like, it just seems like really just a shame that, like, this character who's really important and was really interesting in this season has just kind of been, like, underutilized and then is killed. Like, I feel like there was so much more potential for him.
Yeah. And, like, especially as, like, you know, one of the bridges between the Grounders and the Sky Crew. Like, yeah, I just feel like he could have been, like, a diplomat. Like, I feel like he could have been, yeah, I think it's just, like you said, it's a shame. I think they could have done a lot more with him. I don't blame him for wanting to leave.
Yeah. All right, you want to move on?
Yep.
So, right on the heels of that, the next episode starts. And they go back to the cave, and Bellamy is like, where's Lincoln? And Octavia's like, Pike killed him. And then she starts beating Bellamy to a pulp, and everyone just lets her.
Which, like, I think that's a very good scene.
Yeah.
I enjoy it for the angst. I enjoy it for, you know, how uncomfortable everyone is in that moment and how they don't feel like they can step in. Like, every time they try, like, Bellamy's like, no, like, let her do this. Like, it's just, it's, there's so much pain and it's so good. And I enjoyed it a lot while also cringing because it's just so violent.
Yeah. Very visceral.
Yes.
Yeah. And, like, again, they're never coming back from this.
No, not quite ever the way they were, right? Yeah.
Okay, so basically, Monty's mom warns him, like, hey, Pike found out that you helped the rebels, so, like, you need to run now. And Monty's kind of like, well, you were the only other person in the room with me then, so who turned me in? And she's like, I couldn't lose you too, whatever. So Monty runs away and he radios Bellamy and talks to Kane. And Kane is like, okay, we'll meet you at the dropship. You know, which I feel like, you know, he is thinking like, well, you know, if Monty wants to join us, that's great. But also high potential for it being a trap. So Octavia goes with him and they take Bellamy as a hostage to potentially trade. And when they show up there, it was a trap, although it's not Monty's fault, but he did get caught by Pike, and so Pike set a trap for them.
Which, like, his mom, like, agreed to this. Like, she set him up.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, that wasn't...
That's just cold.
Yeah, like, that's what I have to assume, right? I mean, that she told him to run, and then told Pike, okay, he's running, like, let's go... hope mm-hmm. that he leads us to the others, which, like,
yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I just don't understand Monty's mom. Like, I guess Pike says later in this episode, actually, he says, like, I promised Hannah that, like, her son wouldn't be harmed, right? So, like, I guess to her, this is like, well, in the grand scheme of things, this will help us get rid of that rebel problem, and Monty will, you know, he won't actually get hurt. He'll be safer in the long run. But,
I guess, but still. It's
still pretty, yeah.
So, yeah, so then, so it's a trap. They've got snipers in the trees. There's really no options. Octavia's like, she has her sword to, like, Bounty's neck. And then, like, Pike says, you know, put one in the girl's leg, like, shoot her in the leg, basically. And Bellamy's like, that's not going to happen. So he disarms Octavia, and then he's like, you know, and Pike's like, how can I trust you? How do I know, you know, that you're still on my side? And he's like, I can take you to the cave where the rest of them are hiding. And so he leads them back, and Pike makes a comment of, like, this cave's real close to the blockade line. Yeah. And Bellamy's like, yeah, Kane thought, you know, you wouldn't come out this far, blah, 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 blah. And then they get right up to the blockade line. And basically that was Bellamy's plan all along, is they get to the blockade, and he pulls a gun on Pike and is like, you know, we've brought you. Chancellor Pike, please lift the blockade. And Octavia translates for the grounders, and they take Pike, and it's great, but it's also like, you know, Octavia's not impressed. She wants to kill Pike, so she tries to kill him, and I think Kane or somebody holds her back, won't let her do it.
Yeah, but again, not because, like, murder is wrong. Kane holds her back because he's like, they will want to kill him in a very gruesome way, and you have to let them do that.
Yeah. But for political reasons, yeah. You cannot kill this man. It's very important who gets to kill this man. And so Kane goes with them to Polis so he can talk to the new commander. Yeah. Little does he know. It's a very, very bad idea.
It's not going to be good.
No, but before he leaves, he asks Bellamy, he was like, you know, did you do this to protect your sister? Because it was the right thing. And Bellamy, like, doesn't answer him. And he was like, it's important. Yeah. That it's because it was the right thing. He's like, yeah, you'll still be lost. And that's just good shit. Kane being a good guy, caring about people. Yep. And, yeah.
Yep.
Is that it?
So that's that plot line. Yeah, so basically in Polis, people are coming to Montari and being like, hey, we got to do these special ceremonies to make you commander. But, like, those are ceremonies that she can't do without the flame, the chip in her head. So she's like, oh, I don't know what to do. And Murphy is like, you have to lie. I will help you. I'm very accomplished at it.
I'm a great liar. And she's like, why can't I just kill everyone?
Right.
She's like, that's not a sustainable plan.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he literally says, like, you can't kill all of your ambassadors. That will not work.
No.
So he's, like, working with her. He's kind of pretending to be, like, a flamekeeper or a, like, flamekeeper initiate.
Like a priest, sort of.
Yeah, just, again, like, just making shit up based on what he heard from Titus while Titus has been, you know, torturing him for however long. So basically Antari kind of just, like, has this show of force where she's like, I'm not going to do the ceremony where I say all the commander's names. And the ambassador is like, well, then you can't be the commander. That's not how this works. And she's like, I'm your commander and you will obey me. And then she gouges his eyes out.
Oh, yeah, that was also very graphic.
Yeah, I looked away during that one. That one was too much for me.
Yeah, that's a lot. And then when she's done, Murphy was like, you know, I told you not to do that. She was like, you told me not to kill them. He was like, next time I'll be more specific.
Yeah. Yeah, so then basically at the end of the episode, they go back to Antari's, like, room. And then Antari has him chained up again. And he's like, hey, haven't I done enough to earn your trust by this point? And then, like, I mean, so then she's like, hey, have sex with me. And he's like, no, I'm, like, with someone else. Which, again, like, just a lot of humanity coming from John Murphy, which we haven't really seen before. But knowing, like, hey, even though you straight up don't know whether Amori is still alive, like, you've not seen her in a while. He's like, no. And then she's basically like, well, I will kill you if you don't. And he's like, I think his actual line was, the things I do to survive. So, like, in case you didn't already, very John Murphy. In case you didn't already hate on Tari, like, now also she's a rapist, so.
Yeah. Yeah. And we could argue about the portrayal of that particular interaction, but
I mean, again, like, we could talk about this. Obviously there was coercion. Like,
yeah.
Even if he was initially interested with her, like, there was coercion, so it's still bad. Complicated for sure, but bad.
Yeah.
So then, Allie.
That son of a bitch. So she gets, like, super evil.
Well,
she goes from, like, kind of benevolently evil to, like, I mean, she didn't end the world, but, you know. She thought it was for the best, but now she's like, free will, who needs free will?
Yeah, well, so, like, so Raven is trying to escape from her, which is a very entertaining scene as she's trying to, like, overload her brain to get Allie to leave. And meanwhile, she and Jaha and all of their, like, you know, converts are all, like, having a little discussion, and She has this line, Allie does, where she goes, according to the data, all human behavior revolves around the avoidance of pain. So she's like, it doesn't make any sense that Raven would want her pain back. And Jaha's like, well, that's not entirely true. And then Jaha literally is like, well, free will is the problem. We have to get rid of free will. Which, again, like, Jaha's the one convincing her. Like, I think she, either in the last, it must have been in this, episode, I don't know, like, she says, like, well, part of my programming is that people have to, like, consent to join the City of Light, or whatever, which I guess stops being true by the end of this episode, I don't know, but or I guess, like, they still consent, but they consent again under duress, like, under coercion duress. So then Jaha talks her into, like, just torturing Raven with all of the painful things she's experienced in her life. Until
that was so unfortunate.
Yeah, that was so rough.
Oh my gosh.
Just a montage of pain.
Yeah. And she's basically like, you know, I will do anything for this to stop. And she was like, you know, you have to submit to me completely. And so she does. And Allie basically just takes over her body, like, possesses her, basically.
Right. Which,
which is creepy.
Before that happened, Raven had, like, told Abby and Jasper about this plan she had to use the, like, wristbands that the 100 came down with to potentially, like, permanently get Allie out of her brain.
Right. So when she submits, then they know what the plan is, and Jasper is, like, going to go get the wristbands, but then Jaha stops him, and they smash the wristbands, and that's unfortunate. And then they come back and they have Abby there, and they're trying to convince her to take the chip, whatever, she won't do it. And then they're like, you know, and then Allie's like, picks up a scalpel, and she's like, I'm not going to torture you. She's like, I'm going to give you a choice. And so she slits Raven's wrists, like, the, you know, vertical way. And so she's, like, bleeding out very quickly. And she was like, you know, if you take the chip, like, we'll let you save Raven and all of this. And it's very sad and it's very bad. And then Abby takes the chip because she doesn't have a choice. And then, you know, once the doctor takes it and is like, this is good for you, everyone's like, all right. So they basically chip all of Arcadia after that.
Right, which and Jasper manages to escape and sees this happening, sees Abby just, like, handing out chips to everyone.
And he's like, this is not good, so I've got to find Raven. And then Raven's like, hey, no, everything's fine. I changed my mind. He was like, yesterday you were telling us to get this out of your head. Like, you were very insistent. She was like, no, everything's fine. He does not buy it. He, you know, adjusts her with one of those
things that always just stick in people's necks. A lot of tranquilizing these episodes.
Yeah. Which, like, also, you know, they weren't used to be so, like, we have to ration our supplies or whatever. Yeah. But apparently they have an endless supply of these neck tranquilizers. So he uses one of those. He takes her, gets her in the rover, and he crashes through the gates as everyone is chasing after him. And almost runs smack into Clark, which is very funny. Because it's like, we didn't see her this whole episode. And so we, like, kind of forgot what Clark was doing.
Right.
And then she's just there. And she's like, Jasper, what the fuck? And he's like, get in. Yeah. She was like, no, I have to see Lincoln. He's like, Lincoln's dead. She's like, Lincoln's dead. And it's a lot. And then she, you know, helps him escape and sees her mom, who's, like, leading this charge.
Yeah.
It's very confusing and upsetting for obvious reasons.
Yeah. Yeah, so any closing thoughts?
Nope. Well done. I've said all that there is to say.
All out of thoughts. My mind is blank.
Mm-hmm. Fresh out of them. Thanks.
Yes. Thank you so much for listening to A Bit Much.
We'd like to thank Remember and Meredith Stein for our lovely logo.
You can find us on the internet. Our Twitter's at A Bit Much Podcast. Our email's abitmuchpodcast@gmail.com. And our blog is abitmuchpodcast.blogspot.com. Thank you so much for listening to A Bit Much. I'm Jenna.
And I'm Megan. And my favorite quote from these episodes is from Antari. And it's how I feel after every single workday during this terrible, terrible time. I'm tired and hungry. No more meetings. Bring me wine!